Recently, I've been telling you about Chuck Norris and how he's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's his secret? Well, it's called Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. What does it taste like? Well, unlike other green drinks that taste about as delicious as freshly mowed grass clippings, this one actually tastes pretty good. Heck, if I can get it down, you can get it down. Just like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe today. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary. Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long. This is the Zabecast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Wednesday, August 7, 2024. Thank you for downloading. What a show we have today. Jim Harbaugh will die with the lie. Serena is the worst. You can't smoke them even if you got them. I got a Florida man story from my boy Hatch and why NBA players are throwing shade at 100-meter champ Noah Lyles. Plus why the Cowboy haters for this season at least might be dead wrong. Welcome aboard. But first, an unprecedented marketing agreement between Florida International University and Armando Christian Perez. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't know about Pitbull, a.k.a. Mr. Worldwide? Come on now! Florida International has agreed on a marketing deal with Pitbull, rapper, singer, songwriter, actor, entrepreneur, on a new naming rights for their stadium as Pitbull Stadium. That's right. Florida International, once dubbed as "You Don't Come In Here With That Noise" by Lamar Thomas, former Hurricane great. You over there, over by the ocean, in one of the great brawls of all time, they doing marketing things. How about it? I might be one of the few people willing to admit that I like Pitbull. I'm not going to say I'm one of the few people that likes him because dude is very rich. He's sold a lot of albums. He has become famous. He's sort of like the Nickelback of rap. I don't mind him, though, Mr. Worldwide. And obviously, Florida International has said, you know what? We're in. A 10-year agreement. I believe it's for like $7.5 million or something like that. It's not a ton of money, but it's money. And the best part about it for Florida International, they've already sold the field naming rights. So technically, it's the Kia Dealers of South Florida field at Pitbull Stadium. That's how you do it right there. Sell everything and anything you can. The South Dade Kia Field at Pitbull Stadium. I had to check that. Stuart Mandel covers college football very well. Formerly for SI, now for The Athletic. Tweeted that, and I go, wait, is that right? So they have actually double sold both the field and the stadium. One of my favorite bites of all time came from the 2006 Wild Miami Florida International Brawl, October 14th. A brawl so bad that you had at one point injured Miami Hurricane player Ahmad Ned, N-E-D, out there on crutches with one leg in a cast, ready to get into this brawl. And Lamar Thomas, who was doing color for the Hurricanes at the time, said the following.
You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked. You don't come in the OB playing that stuff. You're across the ocean over there. You're across the city. You can't come over to our place talking noise like that. You get your butt beat. I was about to go down the elevator and get in that thing.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to look up. Ahmad Ned was actually on Florida International. Ahmad Ned. FIU crutches. I know I got this name right. These are the kind of things that I remember when I shouldn't remember them. Yes. And they photoshopped him on crutches going to get in the brawl in all kinds of different situations. God bless the internet. God bless Photoshop. Well, I don't know how good Florida International is going to be, but I know this. They are being creative in today's NIL world. So get ready for Christian Armando Perez to be even more annoying at Florida International games, now with his name on the stadium. To broadcasting. Well, it looks like Charles Barkley must have read his contract with TNT, or his agent or agency said, yeah, about that thing you said on Dan Patrick, how they're going to have to pay you out. Yeah, we sort of have a problem.
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, see, there's language in here that says you don't just get press a button that says cash out. Like it's a video poker machine. Yes, you're signed with TNT for 10 years, $210 million. You're welcome, Charles. That's a hell of a deal. I know you appreciate us as your agents for getting you that money. But yeah, see, you can't just...
We have sort of a problem here.
Just because they lost the NBA doesn't mean you get to walk out or say, give me my money. Doesn't work that way. Barkley now has said he is staying at TNT. That his retirement, he announced so notably last year during the playoffs, is off. Shocker, right? He is going to stay with TNT, and now they're looking at rebranding inside the NBA once they inevitably lose the rights to the league. They are suing. Even they probably don't think there's much chance of that succeeding. They are going to maybe rebrand it as a general sports talk show. You know, Warner Brothers Discovery has a lot of sports properties. It's just they now do not have the NBA. Ken Barkley and Ken Shaq and Kenny and Ernie, we know Ernie can talk anything, and I'm sure that Shaq and Kenny are mildly conversant on all sports, but would it hit the same? And where would they put it? In front of what sporting events? This kind of reminds me of and I should have this line handy on my soundbite machine, but The Simpsons, when the rich Texan bought the Isotopes, and said, we're going to make him play football. And they're like, but it's a baseball team, sir. And he says, they'll play what I tell them to play. I guess inside the NBA is going to be told, look, we're creating a show. You're going to talk about all sports, anything. Could be great, by the way. It could be great. Finally unshackled from having to talk about the NBA mostly every night. If they're truly, really going to go off road, it could be awesome. Or it could be the greatest sports show ever. What was that name of that show with Chris Rose and Tom Arnold? At some point, there is a saturation of just people talking out their asses. I believe that, yeah, you know that. I'm listening to the... Shut up. Shut up back there. I think the NBA is still essential to Kenny, Charles, Shaq, and Ernie. I think we want to hear them talking mostly about the NBA, being brutally honest about it, not caring if the current players are their friends, and then veering into side rants about their personal lives and ball busting and this and that. But yeah, someone told Charles, no, you don't get to press cash out and leave. You either have to stay and do whatever they tell you to do for $210 million or... you're not going to get the money. So welcome back, Charles, I guess. Speaking of new shows, Annie Agar, she of the viral Monday morning Zoom call meeting of NFL teams, has her own podcast now called The Offensive Line with Annie Agar. It's going to be delivered by Wondery Media. And she says it will drop on Wednesdays on YouTube and anywhere you get your podcasts. Well, good for her. Now will she have something to say over a longer form and impromptu 30, 60 minutes about the NFL? I think she probably will. I don't know if she's being coached by anybody. We'll see. But, you know, the tightly edited little 60 second to 2 minute clips that were scripted, and she took time to do that, different than a full podcast. But hey, The Offensive Line with Annie Agar, debuting for the upcoming football season. Looks like Jim Harbaugh is going to die with the lie. Harbaugh was asked about the impending sanctions to Michigan and the leaked notice of allegations ESPN had. We talked about it here yesterday on the show. And Harbaugh stood there with a straight face and said, never lie, never cheat, never steal. That's what I was taught. That's what I taught, teach my kids that play for me. And when you screw up, make a mistake, you apologize, you admit you did wrong, and then you try to do better. Today, I'm not apologizing. I knew nothing about these alleged schemes. Like I said, the Sergeant Schultz answer, I know nothing. So he's standing on it. Paul Feinbaum of ESPN is like, you know what? Nice performance right there, but I'm not buying it. Now, you'd be shocked. I know you're going to be shocked to know that the one guy that ESPN, I'm sure, made take Jim Harbaugh's side on this, because, you know, ESPN's producers, they carefully craft. They're like, look, we can't all be on one side of thing. We can't all be on one side of an opinion. Somebody's got to take the counter side, even if it seems ridiculous. So guess what, Mike Greenberg? You're the guy. Here's Greeny saying he would be the one holdout juror to acquit Harbaugh of any wrongdoing.
Go last. I can be accused, if you wish, of being the most naive person in the entire world. I can be accused of being the most gullible person.
No, you're just the biggest sellout.
And maybe those will be fair. I've known Jim Harbaugh for 32 years. If he was on trial right now and he, in his own defense, made that statement exactly that way in the witness box, he did not plead the fifth. He could have pleaded the fifth, taken the fifth. He didn't. I would acquit him. I would vote to acquit. I would be the lone. I'd be the holdout juror in this group. You all would be handing in jury a guilty verdict, and I'd be like, "No, I don't think so, guys. I think we need to be sequestered. I think we're staying overnight." I call me what you will. I believe him.
Yeah, that is so on brand for Greeny, who will do anything, say anything to keep that big fat ESPN paycheck rolling in. And coming from a Northwestern man himself, a school, I don't know if he went to the Medill School of Journalism, but They're supposedly proud of their journalistic chops at Northwestern. And they're a Big Ten school, supposed rival of Michigan. Come on, man. All right. You can't smoke them even if you got them. This is a crazy story, another one from the Olympics. Charlie Hull of the LPGA Tour, Brit, who has gained viral fame by just chuffing down cigarettes left and right on the golf course with no regard for any sort of optics of, hey, you know, you're a pretty looking gal and do you really want to be the dragon lady? May not be allowed to smoke at the Olympics because apparently it's banned. She was asked about this yesterday. Question, why will you not smoke this week? Well, first of all, it said, why do you smoke? Well, I do. It's a habit. I won't do it this week. It's just something I do. Why not? I don't think you're allowed at the Olympics. Question, will that affect you? Does it help? Yeah, I think it will affect me because it relaxes me a bit, but it is what it is. Question, I thought the French, of all people, would allow you to smoke. Hull, hopefully, yeah. We'll see about that. You can't smoke them, even if you got them. Coming up, right after this quick break, Florida man story from my boy Hatch and why the Cowboy haters, this season at least, this season, might be dead wrong. You are listening to the Zabecast. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.
Hello.
My man.
What's happening?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Back from Florida?
Oh, yes.
Fucking hurricane down there.
Man. Sheesh. I was on my roof in the pouring rain trying to put a tarp down. Fucking soaking wet on a roof.
Oh, is it a tile roof?
It's shingle roof.
Oh, shingle. Okay.
But I'm getting all that work done on my house, the addition, another bedroom, another bathroom, and a pool built. So the dummies ripped off part of my roof and didn't cover it well. So it had leaked in my house before this storm. It leaked all in my house. So they cut out a bunch of my drywall and roof in the inside of my house. So they tarped it, but they didn't tarp it down good enough. They only like screwed in nails into the tarp. I'm like, man, it's gonna be 60 mile an hour wind. You guys, this is not gonna hold.
And what'd they say?
We think it will. I go, no. So then I go, you need to go buy some wood.
We think it will.
You go buy some wood brackets and bracket with wood, screw the wood into the tarp.
Yeah.
Around. So they did that, but they didn't do it all the way around. They only did it on one part. So then I ran to Lowe's because I saw the rain coming. I go, man, they didn't tarp this. They didn't bracket the front. So I went, got some wood, cut it up, got on the roof.
How'd you get on the roof? Do you have a ladder?
My neighbor does. A broken ladder. So if you step on one side of the ladder, it starts to like crumble. So I had to like step on the right side of the ladder, make sure. And I was going up there with screws and my freaking screwdriver drill. Drill. And I freaking got up there and it hadn't started raining yet. I'm starting to put the brackets on and screwing the screws into it. I'm like, all right, this is going to be perfect. Then all of a sudden the rain just came down hard and fast.
My
and I am God. On the edge of the roof. Like if I slip, I'm falling and breaking my back on my pool.
Shit. So you got it done.
Wet. Got the brackets all around the whole perimeter of the tarp and it held. But water was getting, first of all, my pool was empty and it's 5 feet and 3 feet. The pool is full.
Oh my God. So wait. All right. So you're getting, this is a brand new pool put in at your place?
Brand new pool and brand new bedroom and bathroom added.
Oh, so, you're really getting ready for me to come down there and mooch off you for a couple days playing golf. Let's go.
Let's do it. I got a free pass from Stream Song. They emailed me.
Nice. Well, you're the third friend I know that has had major house leakage problems. You know, Miller, our boy, he had his whole house gutted on the inside because of a leak.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, he told me.
I know. So he's out of the house for 3 months. My radio colleague, Brian Butch, found a leak in his upstairs shower that went all the way to the basement. And it was apparently a slow leak that's been going on for probably over a year. His house is only 4 years old. And they're trying to figure out how to fix it now. So you on the roof with a screwdriver, with a power drill screws in the middle of a hurricane.
Wait, it gets even better. With the power drill in my hand and lightning going on too, by the way, it's Florida. So lightning's popping all around me. And I'm like, I got to get this done.
And you did, though.
Soaking wet. I mean, soaked like I jumped in the shower with my clothes on. Shoes took 2 days to dry.
You know why this happened, right? I'm sorry to say this, but I'm telling you, you know why this happened.
I have no idea why.
It was the day you quit at the Malcolm playing the first hole and it rained. You went to Cracker Barrel with your partner, because you said, I ain't playing in the rain. This is the way of karma, Hatch, squaring the account. That the rain finally got you. It waited. It waited 15 years, maybe. I forget how long it's been. It's like, I'll get that fucker.
But wait, I wasn't even done. Oh, so after God. I got down off the roof, I go around the back of the house. I'm like, let me just check, because my house backs up to a pond. And I was like, man, this rain is getting crazy. So I call my buddy. I go, hey, man, I'm worried about the rain piling up, you know, flooding the back of my house. He's like, dig a trench. Because he owns a construction company. He does waterproofing. He goes, dig a trench along the back side of your house and dig it around the side of the house so the water just runs off the side to the sides.
Okay. He's saying to dig a trench. When it's already raining,
it's already straight raining dirt,
which is turning to mud.
Oh, yeah.
With a shovel or a spade you may or may not even own.
I had a shovel.
Okay.
So I started to dig the trench in the rain. But the great thing about Florida, right, it's sandy and easy to dig, especially when it's wet. So I dug the trench, got it, you know, and then the water filled up in the trench. So I was out there with a bucket scooping the water out of the trench in the rain and tossing it in the pool to keep the water off my house.
For how long?
Well, I did it in spurts because I'm 56 and I tired.
Even though you're in great shape.
I sat in my lanai for about 15 minutes. I took 15-minute breaks. And with the pouring rain, then I'd go back out there in the pouring rain and take a bucket and scoop it out and throw it in the pool. And it worked because I kept the water off my house.
That's awesome. So that's great. So that was just like you being back in training camp in your football days.
My back was so sore. When I went in the house, I took a shower and laid down and went to bed.
Hey, man, no one said owning property in Florida was going to be easy.
Oh.
Could be worse, though. I hear, Hatch, that getting insurance, homeowners insurance in Florida, is getting harder and harder, and it's expensive as hell.
Yeah, when I first bought the house 7 years ago, my insurance was $1,700. Now it's
$3,600. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay.
Yeah.
But you're still there. The pool is going to be finished. Extra bedroom. I can then say pool or pond, pool or ocean. Either one's good for me, Hatch. Let's come down
right,
and play
I'm
some
close
golf.
Close to both. I got my golf cart, my 6-person golf cart.
Let's go, man. I can't believe I didn't take you up on the offer.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, it's on me. That's on me. So anyway,
yep.
I especially wanted to talk to you on the pod because I'm like, Scritch's chin. Who do I know that both played in the NFL and knows something about track, given the fact that the Olympics are going on? There's a lot of great track and field stories, as well as shit going on in the NFL. And I was like, boom, Hatch, the still reigning 100-meter record holder at Chantilly High School in Virginia with a sizzling 10.5. What did you think of the 100 at the Olympics? Pretty electric stuff, huh?
That was, I didn't think he won.
Okay, who did you think?
But
did you think the Jamaican won? Because his foot crossed first, but that's not how they count it.
Exactly, and I didn't know that. I thought it was any body part, but it's not. It's your chest.
Right.
Yes. I did not know that until they explained it, because I was like, oh, that guy won. And then they're like, no, it's chest. And then you could see his shoulder, right, going through before the Jamaican.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, how do you think these guys train? They must be psychos. I would love for a camera crew to shadow one of these Olympic sprinters for a week and literally see everything they do. When do they go to sleep? What do they eat? How do they train? How do they treat their body? You know, what are they doing to be these incredible athletes designed for one thing only, pure speed?
Right. Well, you know, now with all the technology, they have so many things hooked up to them. They watch so much video about leg drive and knee levels and how low do you stay coming out of the blocks. It's just the
really?
Technology. And oh, yes.
They're doing film analysis on their running?
Yes.
I had no
and
idea.
They have it all down to a science, like how many steps to get to full speed. They all know how many steps it takes for them to get to full speed, how many rotations, how much leg drive. All that is science and math. And they watch the film and they work on that.
I mean, it's amazing that for all that goes into it, you can only shave the tiniest of fractions of a second off of the time.
Right.
And they're now down to the thousandth of a second, when they didn't used to go past two digits, you know, tenths of a second.
Tenths of, right.
Or hundredths, I'm sorry, hundredths.
So hundreds
now they're now
second.
They're three
right.
digits deep on the right side of the decimal, and I'm just wondering, are they going to start timing it to four digits deep?
Well, that depends on the photo finish. So
right.
they don't. They only
right.
go down to the hundredths on a regular, whoever wins, right?
Right.
Or tenths or hundredths, yeah. So when it's a photo finish, they got to go all the way down to whatever it is from the person who won to the second place person.
Right.
So what was it? 0.005?
Yeah.
That Lyles beat
yeah.
the guy.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in Olympic history that everyone was under 10 seconds.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they're all getting better.
Yes.
I'm looking at, first of all, the world record holder is Usain Bolt with a 9.58. Now, of course, you had the Ben Johnson disqualified 100-meter from Seoul because he was juicing like a mofo. Remember that one?
But that was only 9.7 something.
Was it really? Let's see. I thought maybe it was what did Ben Johnson run?
It was 9.79 or 9.78, that I think.
Oh, you're right. Let's see. Ben Johnson still believes he should be the world record holder. Well, of course, you still believe that. Yeah, 9.79. Look
yep.
at the big track and field brain on Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Carl Lewis won yeah. it 9.8 or 9.8 something, high 9.8s.
Right. Wasn't there also a shot of Carl Lewis looking over as he passed him with like a shocked expression? Because Carl Lewis was the Carl, because yep. Carl Lewis was the baddest man on the planet, and he was like, "What?"
Right, and Carl Lewis is always would be losing at first, and then he would pass everybody after 50 meters.
Sure,
and Ben Johnson kept going past him, kept going, and never slowed down. And Carl Lewis couldn't catch him.
Yeah, so get this: in 1891, on July 4th. In Paris, France, they ran a 100-meter competition. I don't think it was Olympic, but it was the International Amateur Athletics Federation at the time. Yeah, that was ancient organization. 1891, Luther Carey won the event. I think, hold on, I'm trying to read this correctly. Somebody won the event from a bunch of guys. I think it was Luther Carey of the U.S. Yeah, that's who it was. And guess what his time was in 1891, according to whatever they timed it with in 1891.
Right, exactly. They didn't have a stopwatch back then.
They probably had a stopwatch, but now I'm going to Google 1800s stopwatch, what it looked like. What do you think they claim the time 14-2. Was? 14-2. That's what I would have said. But apparently they called it 10.8. 10.8 as the world record back then. Now, let's zoom ahead to years in which we can reliably think they had decent stopwatches. Let's go to
Jesse Owens, 1936.
Okay.
What did he run? Jesse Owens.
Hold on a second. 36. Jesse Owens ran a 10.2.
That's pretty fast for back then.
Absolutely. Now, it wasn't until 1974 somebody broke the 10-second mark. And that was a bunch of different people, but it was in 74. Actually, 72 was the first time. Eddie Hart of USA did it at a 9.9. So we're getting down there, Hatch. We're getting quicker and quicker. At what point do you think they won't be able to run any faster?
I have no idea. I mean, with the technology, it's not, I mean, they're shaving. I mean, Usain Bolt shaved so much off. I don't think that's going to be broken in a while. It's like, what's the woman who was on the stuff but quit before they could test her? Like, no one's beaten any of her 100 or 200 record.
Oh, Florence Griffith, FloJo?
Yes, FloJo. No one's beaten her 100 record.
Yeah. I think it's a cool event because it's so pure and simple. It's one of the original, you know, basic sporting events. Just, all right, how fast can you go?
Can you run? Yeah, there's nothing can say anyone has an advantage.
So when you
are on something.
Right. So when you did that in high school, did you train for the event?
Oh, yeah. I was running track.
Okay. But I mean, how did you train for it?
And we just ran 200s, we ran hundreds, we ran lots of short, quick sprints, and lots of, for the finishing part of the run, lots of 150s and 200s.
Okay, but no
practice starting.
A lot of it's in the start, right?
Yep.
Got to get a good start. So you were not doing a video analysis of your stride coming out of the gate. You were not in a hyperbaric chamber back in 1986.
And I wasn't wearing, and I wasn't probably, my shoes probably weren't as robust as theirs are now.
And were you wearing
the tracks weren't as good.
Yeah. Were you wearing, they are now. Were you wearing actual track shoes?
Yes.
Okay.
I had track shoes on.
Okay. Just checking
I
on
that. I actually ran it at Mary Washington. It was at Mary Washington. I ran 10.5 and I didn't win.
Oh, wow.
I lost by a dude who ran 10.49.
Oh, shit. So you lost out by 1/100th of a second.
Yep. And then I raced him again in the regional finals and lost to him again by 1/100th of a second. So I placed second in the region, northern region, and then I placed sixth in the state. And the guy who won Andre Kason ran in the Olympics.
Oh, wow. Okay. Are you haunted by that, Hatch?
By losing to that guy twice? Yeah.
By one, yes. one hundredth of a second. It haunts twice. You to this day. Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
And I even remember his name.
I know you do. Much like you're haunted by walking off the course at Pinehurst number 9 now after one hole. But that's okay. You know, the gods have squared the account. Course. Yeah.
When
you quit, when it rained at the Malcolm, we talked about this to start the cast.
Oh, yeah.
You're haunted by that.
That wasn't at Pinehurst.
No, it wasn't at Pinehurst. It was at the National, which is now Pinehurst number 10, I believe they call it.
Yeah.
Or maybe number, it's Pinehurst number 9, I think, as a matter
of fact. It is now? Well, number 9 will never, I did walk off. And right. I don't regret it.
Okay. All right, so did you see where apparently some NBA players were throwing some shade at Noah Lyles, the winner of the 100, because he had said earlier that basically how can these NBA players call themselves world champions, just by winning the NBA title?
Well, first of all, he said it last year at the World Championships.
Right.
And they want to bring it up now after he wins the 100. But he's telling the truth.
So you're with him on that.
Call yourself a world champion
okay.
is if you win the Olympic gold. Then you played against everybody in the world.
Okay. So the Olympic basketball championship country can call themselves world champions.
World champions. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's fair enough. I can get down with that. I do think that by the NBA adopting the whole world champion thing, it was a little bit aggressive in the marketing front. Because you're like, okay, calm down. There are other leagues. We know they're not as good as the NBA, but, you know, relax.
Right.
Because the NFL doesn't tout itself as you're the world champion of tackle football.
Right, exactly. They could say Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, because basically nobody else plays it but us.
Exactly, but us. And we're not playing against anybody else. But on that note, there was a football game that Americans, I don't know who they were. I think they were like 18-year-olds. Played against Japan, and Japan beat them.
They did. Yeah, I saw that, and I didn't understand it. I'm like, what ringers did Japan bring in to whoop our asses like that?
Right, and who did we have playing?
I don't know. Some sorry-ass kids, that's for sure.
And by the way, Japan won the 4x100 relay, upset the Americans.
Japan?
Yep.
When has Japan ever been a threat in sprinting?
That's what I said.
I'm like,
they did 4x1 gold medalists.
Everyone kind of knows what countries have what lane when it comes to the Olympics and what events and shit they're good at, you know? So you hear Japan and sprinting, you're like, what?
Right. They fed them suckers something. And by the way, Ohtani has stolen over 30 bases at 6 foot, whatever he is, 4.
That is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He can obviously run.
Yeah. All right. So let's pivot to the NFL, shall we? What's catching your eye? I talked about this with our boy McGowan regarding his Cowboys. I talked about him just in a personal phone call to Cowboy Mike. And I said, how do you feel? Because they were out there. He and Janice were out there in California visiting friends. And they went to Oxnard where the Cowboys trained for training camp. Because it's just too damn hot in Texas this time of year. So I said, what was your vibe? He said, it just feels like the whole fan base ain't into it this year on this Cowboy team.
That's because they're too busy listening to the media saying, oh, the Cowboys, ESPN. Like Charles Barkley said, you get ESPN-itis by just saying stuff. Like, they were like, oh, what's your upset of the NFL year? And a few of them said, well, we think the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to make the playoffs. They just didn't get any better. Well, first of all, why did they need to? The only thing they needed to get better on is linebacker, because they had little guys playing linebacker and they were exposed by the Green Bay Packers.
You're out of linebackers when you caught Jordan Love and the Packers at just the wrong time. And you're playing safeties in the box, and they shredded
you. And what they got? They got some linebackers this year. Nobody's super fancy. They drafted a couple. One from last year that was hurt is back this year. So what else did they need to get? And they lost their tackle, Tyrone Smith, who was out half the year anyway for the last 3 years. So they've already had somebody playing over there for a while. So, and they were 12-4. What else did they need to do?
Yeah, that really like is the whole 12-4 thing is glossed over a lot, isn't it?
Or 13-4. Every year it's glossed over with Dallas. It's glossed over every year with Dallas because they stink when the playoffs come. So, is Dallas going to make the playoffs? Yeah. Are they going to be bad and not make the playoffs? No. I mean, the only teams that are better than them in the NFC are right now, as if we know, I don't know, there's no games being played yet, so we don't know who's improved. But on paper, the teams that are better than them are San Francisco and Philly on paper. And they beat Philly last year and won the NFC East. So we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I would
agree.
Who
else is better than Green Bay? And Green Bay, because Green Bay whooped them.
Yeah.
So other than that,
yeah.
And Jordan Love has to do it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
He got that big contract. He's going to have to prove it again this year. Don't be a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
A la Mike Jones.
Don't compare Jordan Love to Mac Jones.
I'm not. All I'm saying is
you did.
There was a guy that had a one good year, and everyone wanted to anoint him this great player.
Okay.
And then I tried to tell everybody he was at his max. He wasn't getting any better, and he sure didn't.
Okay.
But anyway,
yeah.
So that's it. Four teams.
I would agree that the Cowboys are going to be better than the offseason narrative thinks.
Right.
Because the offseason narrative relies on who'd you buy, who'd you draft that we know their name.
Right.
And they did basically neither. The offseason narrative is also driven, with the Cowboys at least, on what I call a lot of fatigue problems. People are fatigued with Jerry being Jerry. They're fatigued with Dak's postseason failures. And they're fatigued about the talk of, are they going to pay CeeDee Lamb? Are they going to pay Micah Parsons? Can they pay Dak? What are they going to do? None of that matters when it comes to actually playing this season.
Right, because they're all playing.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's the first thing that I don't know why, and it cracks me up. I don't know why ESPN always leads with Dallas. I see why people hate Dallas.
Well,
Dallas is always talked about. Dallas, and you know I'm a Dallas fan. Dallas ain't done shit since 1995.
I know.
And they've been losing. They've been winning the regular season and losing in the playoffs for the last 30 years.
I know.
Almost. So
this is the
most
burden,
talked about team.
The burden of being America's team, Hatch. Just deal with it, okay?
Oh my God!
I know.
I'm tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, Cowboys 12-5 last year, not
12. Oh, okay, 12-5. Yeah.
12-5. Right. Pretty good. Still a game better than the Eagles, who collapsed. I still think they're the better team. They're the best team in the division, even though the division is a little bit sideways. I'm not buying the Eagles. I think Sirianni gets fired after this year. I think what's his name? Their quarterback's been a good story so far. I think he's been solved.
Yes, he's reached his potential.
Right, right. Like
another one that's reached his potential. He's not going to get any better.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, good story.
I mean, they got a great receiver. Yep.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
But they still haven't done anything with defensive backs, and they were the worst team against the pass last year.
All right, so here's something interesting, and that is the trend in the NFL, Hatch, has been for teams to not play anybody of note in the preseason. That was started by Sean McVay. Other teams are adopting it. Apparently, the Packers are going to go the other way because today at practice, Matt LaFleur said that Jordan Love will play in their first preseason game and that he feels like in the last couple of years when they weren't playing guys, it took some time to get into the flow of things. Nobody really knows for sure. Knows whether or not it matters playing in the preseason, but maybe now some teams are going to go the other way. What is your hunch as to whether playing the starters at all in August matters for a quick start?
I think it matters. Like, you need some real-time game situation to get yourself ready for the regular season.
Right.
And I don't think you should play a lot, maybe a couple series, the first game. And then as the preseason goes along, more playing time throughout the, you know, and then by the time the second to the last, play the first half.
Yeah.
And then the maybe not play the last game. So you need to get at least a half a work in.
Yeah, I would think just as a guy on the couch, Hatch, not having played, that there's some real value in reacclimating yourself to the tempo of real ones versus ones. I'm going to tackle you as hard as I can, football, before you start.
During the whole camp, he's not touched. That's what ignited the fight with the Giants and the Lions, because the defensive lineman for the Lions hit the damn Daniel Jones on the arm when he was throwing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's all it takes. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether it makes a difference. What will stop that experiment, if more teams go that way, is one big injury to a quarterback. That'll get them to shut it down, like, ah, shit, we can't get our quarterback hurt in August. Because the league, it's just all in on quarterbacks. It's any guy that shows he can be the QB1 is getting close to $50 million a year.
Well, they're saying Dak is going to be at 60.
Yeah, because if he's able to walk out the door, which I don't think Jerry will let that happen.
No.
Somebody will pay him. They'll go, sweet. Here's a quarterback. We can just buy the guy. We know he can play at a Pro Bowl level. Boom. We'll take him.
Right. Yeah, what? He has no other alternative.
Well, he thinks he does. That's why he's dragging his feet. And the more he drags his feet, the more expensive it gets.
He should have learned his lesson the last time with Dak with that.
Right. It's like a divorce. You drag your feet with the lawyers trying to, you know, haggle things out with your ex, soon to be ex. It's just going to get more expensive, you know? The first price is always the best price. Just go for it.
Go, right. Yep.
All right. Do you play Madden at all?
No.
Okay.
But I saw something on ESPN about who the top quarterback was at 99 was Mahomes.
All right.
I didn't agree with Josh. Josh Allen being ranked so high.
Okay.
He throws too many interceptions.
Yeah. We'll see if he can keep those turnovers down this year. The worst guy in Madden, and he's technically not in the league, although he was on the Saints roster back in April, is Nathan Peterman. Do you remember Nathan Peterman?
That guy is still playing. How did he even continue to be in the league with his 6 interceptions in one game or something ridiculous?
It was 5 in the first half.
5 interceptions
against the Chargers when he was with the Bills. He has a career passer rating of 39.4. And he played 7 years in the NFL.
That is the most ridiculous thing. Who did he know?
Right. Why couldn't this league of football people go, all right, I don't think Peterman's it. There's no point. There's nothing left here.
There was nothing there to begin with.
Yeah. It was bad. Now, meanwhile, on the quarterback front, apparently Jimmy Garoppolo is hanging on by a thread in L.A. with the Rams. And they're saying he may not make the team. I'm trying to think of another quarterback that had this kind of a fall off. Garoppolo had 1st and 10 at the 50 in the Super Bowl, trailing by 4, 1:40 to go, all 3 timeouts, and it ended on a 4th and 10 sack, Hatch. Sack.
Right, held the ball instead of just at least throw it up, something.
He went incomplete, had a 3rd and 10 where he overthrew an open Emmanuel Sanders by 5 yards down at the 6-yard line, and on 4th and 10 took a fucking sack, and the rest was downhill from there. The only other bright spot since that point was beating Rodgers at Lambeau Field with a busted up shoulder, basically because Debo Samuel did everything for him in that game in 5-degree weather. I know I was there, I almost died. But yeah, he has completely fallen off a cliff, and I'm trying to think, what is the career comp to a guy that was that high with the Super Bowl in his hand, and now he's going to probably not make the team for the Rams?
First of all, well, that's because they don't still want to pay him.
Okay.
So who on the Rams is a better backup than him?
I don't know, but it's pretty bad when you can't beat them out.
Well, it comes down to money, too. I think it's more than just beating him out. He's probably better, but they just don't want to pay what they have to for him to be the backup, and the guy is okay enough.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to my QB depth charts around the league from Our Lads. I love this because it's really just you gotta know where the scrubs are. The scrubs, they change places all the time, and then you're shocked. You're like, that guy still in the league? Case Keenum is on a roster for the Houston Texans.
Oh, I saw him playing them
still.
He's a good backup. I like Case Keenum.
Yeah. He's a great backup if you don't have to play him. Yeah.
Right.
Carson Wentz is the backup to Mahomes in Kansas City. Can you believe that?
Well, I guess Andy Reid thinks he can do something with that scrub. You want to talk about someone who fall from grace? There you go.
Okay. Marcus Mariota is the backup to Jaden Daniels in D.C.
Washington. He's all right back.
Technically, even though they say J.J. McCarthy is doing a good job in camp for the Vikings, their first-round pick, he's still listed as the backup to Sam Darnold, who I think is terrible.
He's terrible. And anyway, what are they supposed to say with their number one pick? He's awful so far. No. What quarterback do you know that gets drafted in the top 10 in camp and they say, oh, he looks awful? Nobody. Yeah. They always say they look good. They even said Zach Wilson looked good in camp when he got drafted. That sorry scrub.
Yeah. Let's see.
I don't believe anything they say until you watch him on the field. And then you say, yeah, he was terrible. He's terrible.
All right. Apparently the backups to the Rams are the backups to Stafford are Stetson Bennett, and I don't even believe this is a real name, Dresser Wynn. Dresser Wynn.
Where do you even play?
Is Dresser, Dresser, played at Tennessee Martin.
Tennessee Martin.
25-year-old. He is a street free agent. Dresser Wynn. Holy shit. No relation to Spurgeon, I assume.
No.
Yeah. So I need to now go look at the roster to see what the hell happened to Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe he was cut
away. That little midget, no arm having Stetson Bennett is worse than Garoppolo. Are you kidding me?
I don't know, man. It's rough out there.
Yeah.
Still listed on the Rams. Still hanging on, but Our Lads does not have him on the depth chart, so we shall see. Okay, Hatch, any quick comments on John Rahm's epic collapse at the Olympics? Because I know you love a good golf meltdown.
Oh, I do. But tell me about it, because I didn't see. I just saw
39 on the backside. 39 on the backside when he had a 4-shot lead making the turn.
Oof. Yeah. Where were they playing?
They were playing at the Ryder Cup spot in Paris, where the U.S. got trounced. Le Golf National. Looks like a Pete Dye course with a whole bunch of lakes and railroad ties. I think you would hate it.
Yeah, I would. I do not like that kind of stuff.
Let me find my ball and hit it, for God's sakes.
Please. Yeah. And by the way, on that note, I'll make so we had our member. And let me tell you what I did. So,
okay. Is that Lansdowne?
Lansdowne, okay. Member. It was a one-day event. Okay. I'm sorry, not member. Member guest, one-day event.
Okay, one-day member guest. Thanks for the invite.
So you
appreciate
it. Three rounds. Every time I invite you, I always say you can't. So I'm done inviting.
Okay.
But anyway, they put, you know, on the front of the placard, like, where are you playing, like, each round and each hole you're on. So I misread in round two. We won the first round. We crushed them. Second round, I misread the placard. It said 5B, I thought. It said 5A on the RTJ course, but I was really supposed to be 5B on the Shark Bite course. So you know how far away those are, right?
Oh, my God. Wait, they play your member
route
guess?
Seven. I was by Route 7 at the wrong hole, and I had to drive all the way down behind Norman to get to 5A on Shark Bite. So we get there.
Oh, my God. I want to put
– We show up 15 minutes late. And they're pissed off. Where the F you guys been? And I said, man – we're here now. You know me. I'm like, we're here now. So what's the problem? And he's like, well, we had to let two groups go ahead of us, and we've been waiting here. And I was like, wah, wah, wah. I said, let's just play. We are here now, and I made a mistake, and let's move on.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen,
and
that
is – we proceeded to lose the first hole, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is peak Hatch. 15 minutes late because of his own fuck-up, responding to a guy who is rightfully pissed off by saying, well, I'm here now, so what's the problem? The problem is you're 15 minutes late.
Well, let's move past that now.
Let's move past that, exactly. Oh, I'm on Google Maps right now. Where is the tool for measurement? There's got to be a tool, right, where you can actually measure distances on Google Maps, because holy shit, the way that course is laid out, it is so far from where you were. It, like, literally you could not draw 2 points on the property further apart.
Exactly. Yup.
All right, so how'd you do?
So we won 2 and lost 1, so we didn't make it. So there was a little funny business going on, because
oh boy,
the guy who claimed to be a 15.7 handicap, I shot a 39 at 6.7.
Yeah.
And he shot a 38. No.
Stone cold on his own
straight
ball.
Stone cold, straight up 38 on his own ball.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. That's welcome to member guest season, where handicaps right. are always questioned.
I was like, okay, I get it, how someone could maybe have, you know, a couple of good holes. I mean, he was on point every hole.
You know, like, there's a
– He would hit it right down the middle. Yeah. He would hit it right on the green. And then he would drop the – he hit me with a Mongolian.
Oh, boy. Well, you made a birdie.
I was the only one on the green.
Yeah.
I was the only one on the green. That fool chipped it in.
Yeah, well – you're allowed to.
Man,
you're allowed to make
15.
It from anywhere. I checked the rules.
I was like, man, I'm out here playing good golf, finishing 3 over, and I still lose by 1 straight up.
Yeah, it's comical how far away you were. I'm gonna actually tweet this out and link to the episode with. I'm gonna measure it as well, because it is truly incredible to get to the 9-hole par 3 course that the Shark Bite is at your club. Yep. On the banks of the Potomac River. It is so far, and like you couldn't. I guess technically you could have been farther away. You could have been on one of those holes on the Norman course. Yep. That's tucked in the corner, but not much farther.
Right.
Not much.
I was over by Route 7, so I was standing at the par 5.
Yeah, no, I know it. I know. Yep. Nobody else, none of my else listeners know, but I'll vouch for my listeners. Like, it's pretty hilarious. I'll do the map. I'll show the miles. I'll calculate it. You might have been 2 miles away from where you're supposed to be.
Oh, I was that far?
Yes. Yeah, I think you might have been.
Man, and then I was like, come on, man. I'm here now. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Well, it all is in the name of fun. All right, Hatch. Let's play golf soon. Right. The weather's lovely this time of year in the Mid-Atlantic. August is the best month for golf, said nobody.
Well, I'm around this weekend if you want to play.
All right, buddy. We'll talk.
All right.
Thank you, man. All right. See you.
Bye.
All right. That is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for downloading. Don't forget, you can join me and my knuckleheads down in Jamaica this winter. Sunburn Bowl 6 is on. We are going to an amazing resort with a bunch of great people, mostly from Wisconsin, but yes, anyone listening to this podcast from anywhere in the world, really. If you can get there, you can be part of it. Call Travel Leaders. They'll help you book now. 833-TL-TRIP. Spots are selling out fast. Be part of our annual championship vacation in the middle of February, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, in the dead zone of sports, when you're going to need the getaway from winter the most. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time. We can fly up and away. Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.